I'd like to talk to you about trust in the Lord. What does it mean for me to trust the Lord? And how do I build that trust? You know, when we first listen to that, hear that topic, the thought can come to my mind, cancer, in its last stages. I have days to live. Can I trust the Lord? Is that where trust begins? I'd like to look at a verse in Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. A promise from God. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. And you know that this trust goes into so many different areas than healing. It goes into the total area of my life. Those decisions that I would make, I can look at tomorrow and know which way it should go. And this says, trust him with all of your heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, what I feel like it should be, the direction I feel like it should go. In all of thy ways acknowledge him. And I look at that part of the verse. In every direction life takes me, acknowledge my need of God. I need you to help me in this stage of my life. If I will, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Is it always going to be the path that I would have chosen? No. That's why he told me don't lean to my own understanding, because I would have gone a different direction. I want to look at another verse. This is in Psalms 9 and 10. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I was looking at that verse, they that know thy name. I believe that's something much deeper than just I've heard the name Jesus. Yes. And I know it. I know that name. I believe it's talking about a relationship with the Lord. They that know thy name, once I start building that relationship in the Lord, it's going to be just natural for me to trust him to be able to guide my life. And I tell you, over this last couple weeks, I've gone through a little training session. We were up in Wichita for 3 days, and I noticed in the mornings whenever I would first get up, my back would be hurting so bad, and I would even tell Cheryl, I don't know if I can put my socks on, it hurts so bad. But you know, in an hour or so, it went away to where I forgot about it for the rest of the day. But I got back to work Monday, and while I was at work Monday, we had to lift some things, and as I was doing it, I could tell something's going wrong and I'm in trouble. And by the time I got home that evening and throughout that night, I was in pain. And we were 2 weeks away from going to Germany. And what am I going to tell them at work if I have to take off until this clears up? What am I going to do? I'm going to about have to cancel the trip to Germany. So, you know, this says, just trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Yes. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't even start saying what ifs. What if this happened? If it doesn't clear up by this time. You know, it's not good for me to put a time frame on the Lord. Lord, I tell you what, if you'll do this for me by this time, because he doesn't work well on our time frame. I found that out too. Because you know what, the next morning I had to go to school there. And to get up and give my little lesson, I could hardly get up out of the bench. And here I've got 8 hours of work to do when I got there. But I believe the students were praying for me when I went on to work. And when I got to work, I could not walk. I got out of the vehicle and my back hurt so bad I just hung on to the vehicle there for a little bit. And then when I could stand up, I would hold on to the vehicle and walk around. You know what all that did for me? It helped me to see who I really am.
Yes.
You know what? Every one of us, without the Lord helping us every day, don't have anything more going for us than that.
Yes.
When I'm standing there at the truck, cannot walk, don't let go of the truck, I'm going to go down. And stand there for a little bit and then take tiny little steps and walk around holding on to the truck. And then when I leave it, walking toward the shop, it's just maybe 6-inch step sliding my foot forward before it's making my back hurt. And you know what? I learned some of this song that we talk about here, Learning to Lean. You know, something happens there if you want to trust the Lord. As I started praying, Lord, help me with this next step. I'm not looking out at Germany now. Lord, I just need your help right here for the next one and the next one. And I saw the Lord over that first week. Did he heal me? No. You know what? I would have missed a whole lot if he would have done what I asked him to do at the beginning. Because what I would like for him to have done at the beginning was the first prayer I prayed. I have no more backache, and tomorrow I don't even think about it again. But instead, what I saw was day after day, with almost no improvement for riding in the truck to work, when I would get out, he would give me the strength for that day. To where for all week long, my bosses did not notice it. I was had a problem that there was after I could get to walking good, there was more pain for sitting down. It was like a pinched nerve or something. And so I was telling the guys at work, I said, you know, really the company does not mind that because they'd rather we not be sitting down on the job anyhow. So just stand up and walk. And the Lord would help me with that. There would be a time where I need to climb a ladder to do something. And you know what? I don't remember in the past praying when I take another step up a ladder, but I was doing it then. And you know, as I look back on that now, I've heard people say, I'd be willing to go through that again. Yes. Now, I would like to not go through it. But you know what? There is a place in trusting the Lord that is so rich. And it has nothing to do with that I'm healed at the time I want to be healed. Yes. It's about, Lord, I tell you what, if you'll go with me through this. Because what I watched was, I would think, there's no way. I cannot stand 30 minutes of riding in the truck. I can't walk. What am I going to do? These thoughts have come to me. What am I going to do in a 10-hour flight to Germany? And then I realized, you know what I'll do? I'll trust in the Lord. Because while those thoughts are coming to me, the Lord starts pouring in some thoughts for messages over there. And I say, okay, we're in the right direction now. Don't worry about how this backache feels. Day after day, I even came to a part where 1 week of that I had to work 10-hour shifts. And the Lord, 10-hour shift didn't bother him any. He gave me the strength for the day, come home in the evening and rest, and he helped me out the next day. And there has been improvement since then. So, you know, what I would like to do this evening for a little bit is let's rewind back from the day I would get cancer and death is out ahead, because that's not where trust begins. Trust begins way back there in the little bitty things of my life. Those areas that maybe I wasn't even used to asking the Lord about anyhow. I could go do it on my own. You know, I'm finding out more and more that even those things that I thought I can do very well by myself, it's pretty good to tell the Lord, Lord, I'd appreciate it if you'd help me with this, because things can go wrong pretty quick and cause us a lot of trouble. So here's what I thought about. Where does trust begin? Where did I first learn to trust? You know what? Trust for me began, I believe the Lord intended it to be this way. Trust for me began when I was an infant, and I learned to trust my mother. You know what? You lay an infant down. I've kind of thought about this with Heather's little baby. You lay that baby anywhere and walk off and leave it, and that baby will get no help and die there if somebody doesn't help it. Totally dependent. You know what? I'm really in that condition with God. I am totally dependent. There is a verse in Acts And if I would realize how totally dependent I am. We hear this about this the girl that has this trouble in Springfield. And, you know, we don't know what it is. But you know what? Every one of us could be in that condition tomorrow or something else. But, you know, we can put our, instead of having just a big fear of what might happen tomorrow, it's going to be good for me to put my hand. I don't know about tomorrow, but I do know who holds tomorrow. And I know who holds my hand. In Acts, the 17th chapter, is a little explanation that I need to remember. 17 and 25. God's not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. And in the 28th verse, in him we live and move and have our being. It's through the Lord that I'm able to get around anyhow. And if I would realize that, and if I would be thankful every day for the strength he does give me, and then when I have a problem to be able to go back to him and know he cares about me. There is a verse of a psalm, because you know what? Whenever I start looking at how mom cared for me when I was very small, it's just like a natural instinct for mothers. When a child is sick at night, and I've heard Heather telling us about her little baby being sick through the night and how she was up all night long with the baby. You know what that's because? There's a mother's love there that she's willing to sacrifice her comforts. You know what? We're living in a time where that's being lost in our world. It says, without natural affection. You know what God put within a mother, put within a woman, that when she becomes a mother, it is just natural for that to flow out. I'd give my life for this child. And so I think about with mom willing to sacrifice herself for my benefit. And when I saw that, it ought to help me to be able to understand Jesus' care for me too. Because here's a verse of a song. As a mother stills her child, thou canst hush the ocean wild. Boisterous waves, obey thy will. When thou sayest to them, be still. Wondrous sovereign of the sea, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. And you know what? As I compare his love for me to the love that my mother had for me, then I start understanding I can trust him. I can trust him about the things that will come into my life, not just the afflictions, but all the things that happened to me. And I was looking at the next step. After I grew up just a little bit, still a very small child, and you may remember this happening in your life. Maybe take a small child and stand them up on something high and tell them to jump to me. You know what? If I have not been a parent that child could trust, there in no way. You know, if I've let that child down in other places and I haven't built that trust, but you know what? A little bit of trust has been built, but still there's a fear there. And I've seen it before with our children when they would be little, and I stand them up there and I say, jump to me. And I mean, they can see there's distance to fall if they don't catch me. But then you tell them, no, I'll catch you. And then you see that child, okay, I'm going to trust them. And they take the jump and you catch them. And then put them up there again, and it's a lot shorter time. They're ready to jump again. And then you do it a few times, and you better not turn your head to talk to somebody, because they're going to jump. They're ready to, they just know you're going to be there. You know what? That's the same way with God. There's times that he tells us to jump.
Yes.
I'll catch you. And we see what all could happen, and we have fears. And he says, just do it. I'll take care of you. And you know, I've just seen that in these last couple of weeks. Don't put restrictions on God. Don't tell him, okay, Lord, tomorrow I need to be in this condition. What I would do is just each day, Lord, I just need you to go with me now. That song, I Need Thee Every Hour, you know, it comes down to sometimes, Lord, I need you one step at a time. And if we will go to that place that, you know what, I don't put requirements on the Lord. I don't go out, okay, Lord, a year from now I need to be in this place. No, Lord, next second I got a step I need to take. Lord, I've got this problem in my life. I need you to help me with it. And when he says, okay, without you even seeing how it could work, I want you to jump. I want you to trust me. And I looked at this. There's a verse of a song. And now I have flung myself recklessly out. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know how this thing is going to work. But I give myself to the Lord. I have flung myself recklessly out like a chip on the stream of the infinite will. You know, that's a lot to say in a song. I'm just like a chip. Whichever way the Lord wants this thing to flow, I'll let it happen. Now this one says, this songwriter had it down this much. I passed the rough rocks with a smile and a shout. And I just let my God his dear purpose fulfill. Now I will say, okay, that was his testimony. I've got some other songs that I would have to put in that place there at the end of it. Here's one of them. I'll place my trembling hand in thine until the battle's o'er. Another one that we could use is, another verse of that one is, forever I choose the goodwill of my God. Not having a clue where that's going to take me. But I've started building a trust and he has not failed me. Does it mean he's always done it exactly the way I would like? No. And now I look back and say, I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he would let me go through a little lesson to where I could see. He doesn't have to completely take the problem away, but help me with that problem to where I can feel his presence, and that's good enough. There's another verse of a song, to thee my all resign. Oh, let thy will be mine. Let it be mine. He wants to let it be ours. But what now I'm coming to the place that I desire that my will would be the same as his. In thy great love divine, keep me, my Lord. Then I thought of another step. If I compared this trust in the Lord, learning to trust the Lord, to childhood, it would be real easy for me to trust the Lord if he would give me everything I want when I ask him. So if I go back to childhood, when you were a child, did your parent give you everything you asked for? Didn't happen. Mom and Dad would not let me have some things. Now, I don't know how y'all did at the table, but there would be some things that maybe I just don't want to eat. And they say, you know, I would just as soon live on desserts. And they have spinach. Now, I don't know how it worked in y'all's home, but in most homes, the parent will say, you cannot have your dessert now until you eat the other. And, you know, it takes quite a working on the will to be able to get that child to submit to that. Maybe things like the scene might be something like holding my nose. You know, okay, I'll take a bite, but I can't stand it. I'm going to hold my nose. Maybe it comes to the point that they say, okay, look, I'm going to set a timer. You've got 5 minutes to get that eaten. It's not what I want, but they're training me that, you know what, it's not about what you want. It's about what is best for you. Did I change just because I became an adult? Not really. I would still like to have in my life the things that I want. To me, dessert in my life is still the best thing there is. Good things. Give me good things into my life. Whoever asked the Lord, Lord, I tell you, it's been 6 months since I had a big trial. Lord, I'd love for you to pour on a trial for me. We don't ask that because they come enough by themselves. But to be able to say this song, had I the choosing of my pathway, If I could really believe this down in my heart, had I the choosing of my pathway in blindness, I'd go astray. I'd wander far away in darkness, and I would not reach that land of endless day. What if I want something, I want it my way, and God says, that's the wrong way, with eternity in mind? Yes. If you factor in eternity, that way is going to cause you trouble. I've got something else, another way that I need to take you through, if we'll put our hand in His. There's another area that I learned in childhood. What about correction? I can remember the times when Mom and Dad would give me a whipping, and they would end it with, I did this because I love you. Did y'all ever hear that when you got a good whipping? And I thought, I don't feel the love. That's not what I call love. But you know what? That same thing happens to us with our Heavenly Father. Look at Hebrews 12 and 5. Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And down in the 11th verse, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's always that way. When the chastening is coming, it's hard to see the good from it. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know what? It did it in our home when I was corrected, and it will do the same thing with us in the Christian walk. The things that He sends to me to show me, you know what? There's a change that I need you to make in your life, and that I would accept that in my life. There's another verse in Matthew 7, talking about a father giving something to his son. Matthew 7 and 9. What son is there of you? What man is there of you whom if his son asked bread, would he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? What would you consider to be in the good category that God would put in my life? You know, sometimes when I look at that, okay, health is the first thing I'd like to have. That's a good category. Wealth, that's pretty good too. I'd like to have lots of money. And I would like for nobody to give me opposition in my life. Those are good things for me. And then I've got a verse that will back up about good things. Let's go to Psalms 84. Psalms 84 and 11. Right at the last part of the 11th verse. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So, what are the good things that I expect him then to put in my life? Here's another verse that I want to attach to it now. Psalms 119. And 71. It is good for me. How does that go? It's good for me that the Lord gave me everything I ever wanted. This says, it is good for me that I had been afflicted. Trouble coming into my life was a good thing, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, I was thinking about the story of Joseph, hated by his brothers, put in the pit, sold into slavery. All those things that went into his life, 13 years of his father thinking he was dead. All of this happening in his life. And here's this verse. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Was it a good thing for Joseph to lose 13 years of his life. We wouldn't think that. But you know, when it came out on the other end of it, Joseph had a testimony that he said, "It was not you that put me here. It was not you that did it. It was God." What a testimony. I recognize that I needed all that training to be able to be in a place that I could take this kind of position in the right way. Because, you know, he could have easily had him a little notebook that each person that did him wrong, I write it down. And not only do I write it down, but I think about it day and night. One day I'll be out of here and we'll settle up this score. He would have never been at a place that God could use him at the end of that. But for him to choose whatever God wants to put in his life. You know, we don't see him ever complaining. What we see is when he went into prison, that he starts looking around, who can I help? You know, it would have been so easy when those two men came to him with a dream. We're in trouble. We need somebody to help us. And he could have said, you don't have any trouble compared to me. You know, I don't have anything to give you. Let me tell you my story. I got something worse than you. But instead, he was there. This is where God has put me. So now what can I do for him while I'm here? And was able to take their story, tell them what that dream was going to mean. And the one that went back to Pharaoh, he asked him a simple question. Let him know my name. Would you help me to get out of here? And what passed, 2 years or something passed by. Joseph had to have realized, you know what? He has forgotten me and I'm stuck here again. But you know, on the day that they came, Pharaoh needs some help. Joseph did not say, you know what? I need to pray. I have let some attitudes build up to where I am in no place to help anybody. But instead, it was like all I need to do is wash my clothes, put them on, I'm ready to go. He had kept his life in order. And it's what I want to do in the things that come into my life. It's not all about affliction. It's about the things that happen day after day. And me allowing God, me being able to recognize God working in those things. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There's another verse of the song, God's Way is Best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. How much I would love to be able to understand the day that my back started hurting. Lord, if you'll tell me what day I'll be well, if it's before the day I go to Germany, then okay, I'll suffer it. But you know what? I don't have to know anything except that God will go with me. God's way is best. Heart, cease thy struggling to see and know and understand. Forsake thy fears and doubts, but trusting, submit thyself into his hands. You know, we will have times just like Joseph that someone does us wrong. And we're going to have to make a choice just like Joseph did. Yes. About what we're going to do with it. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. To be able to say, you know what, the Lord allows these things to come into my life for some purpose. And he uses individuals sometimes to be able to test us. I was looking at this with Job, a perfect and an upright man. So he was not tested because he was not chastened because he had sin in his life. But instead, he was living in the place to where God could talk to Satan and say, have you considered my servant Job? He's a perfect and an upright man. Yes. You know, that's a good testimony that God could give. And now a test comes. And Job never saw the picture at the beginning. If God could have talked to Job and said, Job, I need to tell you something. We're fixing to have a contest here between me and Satan. I really believe if you'll hold on, things will go good for me here. I need you to hold on. No. Job didn't know anything about it. What Job did know was the Chaldeans. He knew the names of the people that took the different things that he possessed. You know what? Each one of those could have been something that in his heart he said, okay, I can't do anything about it right now. I've got another messenger waiting to talk to me. But I'm going to remember who did that. when everything was gone that he possessed. It says he fell on his face, but it doesn't say that he went to kicking his feet because he was so mad. He fell on his face and he worshiped God.
Yes.
And he said, you know, I didn't have anything when I came, and it's sure I won't have anything when I leave.
Yes.
The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a place to live in. To where when trouble comes my way, and it was a person that did it to me, that I would be able to do like Job did and say, it was not this person, it was God that allowed this thing to come into my life. If I can see everything that comes into my life as being allowed to come through God, then I can ask God, would you help me to be able to use this in the way that be pleasing to you? So Satan lost that round. But then he came back to him and said, I tell you what, skin for skin, everything that a man hath, he'll give it for his life to be able to live. And you know, we live in that kind of place today to where there are people when they know it looks like it's coming close, I could be leaving out of here. They would be able to pay every bit of money that they possess to gain a few more days. And I believe Satan felt like, I understand that about man. And so I'm going to, you test him there, and God, he will curse you to your face. So God puts bounds on Satan. You can touch him, but you cannot take his life. You know what? That's a consolation to me. God has this thing in control. He sets bounds on how far this would go. And the devil, he himself cannot cross that line. And so you remember when that test came to Job, so bad that his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? And he says, you speak like a foolish woman. Shall we not receive the good and the evil? Still, he did not sin or charge God foolishly. You know, there's a verse in Matthew 28. When God does not answer my prayer immediately, it is not because he lacks the power to do it. Jesus in Matthew 28 and 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and to earth. He has, and in earth, he has the power to heal me instantly. He also has the power to take me through to the other side of whatever trouble comes my way. Three Hebrew children had a glimpse of that. When they talked back to the king and said, be it known unto you, we will not bow. God is able and he will deliver us out of your hands. So you know what? They didn't see which way it would be, but they knew even if it goes to the flame and we die in the flame, we will be delivered out of his hand. They did not put any restrictions on God. You know, they could have said, throw us in if you want to, we won't burn. You know what? They didn't know they wouldn't burn. What they did know was God's going to help us through this battle. Their trust was in God. I want my trust to be built in God. In the daily things that come into my life that would trouble me, help me to look at it and say, Lord, you have allowed this to come into my life. Do you have something for me to learn from it? And that I would put no requirements on God for how he works. I watched a few years ago Clinton's mother-in-law, Sister Karen LaCroix. She had an affliction come on her body. She had grandchildren. She had children that she would love to have watched grow up. And that affliction got worse and worse to where she realized, you know what, this could take my life. And that's a desperate time for us. We'd love to live. But you know what, she came to a place where she gave that to the Lord also. And she had a song that was her special song. And it said this, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. You know what? When I come to that place, I've got the victory. The world would look at that and say, wait a minute. you can't lose. No, we can't lose. Because you know what? God will take care of us while we're here, and one day he will take us to heaven. I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. For I have my Jesus with me each passing day. I'll have my healing here below, or life eternal if I go. So praise the Lord, I'm a winner either way. And a verse of that song says, none of us really knows about tomorrow. We must prepare to go to heaven every day. But while we're here, let's trust the Lord. He'll lead us safe to our reward. And by his grace, we'll be a winner either way. Prophet Isaiah came to Hezekiah one day, and he said, set your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to live. You know, there is an appointment for us. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We all have that appointment out ahead for us. You know what? If I will take the places that the Lord leads me through each day and let them cause me to build my trust in him, there is going to be something that's going to take every one of us out of here. I would love to be able to be at the place that when that comes my time, my trust has been built in him enough that I am ready to go. To be like John when Jesus said, I come quickly. And he didn't say, I'm going to do what I can to keep from going. He said, even so come, Lord Jesus. We're all going to go out of here one day. Lord, help me to be ready. And help me to build my trust in you. Not about what you will do for me every time I ask you to do it exactly that way. But to understand that you know what? He cares about me. No chastening for the present is joyous, it's grievous. But afterwards, it'll yield some fruit that'll be pleasing to the Lord. I want to make heaven my home. That last verse of the song number 111 said, God's way is best. So I've made a decision. God's way is best, so lead me onward. My all I give to thy control. Thy loving hand will truly guide me, and safe to glory bring my soul. I want to make heaven my home. The small things that come into my life are designed to help build my trust for when the big ones come. I desire your prayers.